Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Park Medicure Limited conference call hosted by Adfactors PR. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Saloni Nagvekar from Adfactors PR. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Rayo. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 and 9-month FY26 maiden earnings call of Park Medicure Limited. Today, we have with us Dr. Ajit Gupta, Chairman, Dr. Sanjay Sharma, Whole-Time Director and CEO, Dr. Rajesh Sharma, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sudesh Sharma, Chief Strategy Officer and OSD Finance, and Adfactors IR team. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, after which we will have the forum open for the interactive Q&A session. I must remind you that this conference may include forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. The statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Ajit Gupta, Chairman of Park Medicure Limited, for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to Park Medicure Limited earnings conference call. Thank you for joining us today and for taking out the time to engage with us. This call is particularly meaningful for us as it marks Park Medicure's first ever earnings conference call. While our hospital have been serving the patient for the last two decades, today marks the beginning of a more structured and transparent dialogue with our investor community. We look forward to building a long-term relationship with all our stakeholders through consistent communication and clarity of strategies. Park Medicure was founded on a belief that has remained unchanged since the day and that the quality healthcare should be accessible, affordable, and dependable, irrespective of the geography or income level of the patient. Our journey began in 2005 when we established Park Hospital in New Delhi. At the time, the focus was not on the scale but trust, delivering ethical medical care, strong clinical outcomes, and patient-first decision-making. Over the years, that foundation has enabled us to grow steadily without compromising on our core values. Today, Park Hospital stands as the largest private hospital chain in Haryana and North India's second largest private chain hospitals. We currently operate 14 multi-super specialty hospitals with an installed capacity of 3 to 50 beds, including approximately 870 ICU beds across Haryana, Punjab, Delhi, and Rajasthan. Our growth has been driven by a cluster-based expansion strategies, which we believe is one of our strongest competitive advantages. Instead of spreading over thin geographies, we focus on building dense regional clusters. This approach by Spoiler allowed us to scale responsibility while maintaining consistency in clinical quality and patient experience. Another key pillar of Park Medicure or Park Hospital is our doctor-led professional management module. Clinical leadership plays an active role in operational decision-making, ensuring that growth initiatives are aligned with the patient outcomes. Across our network, we offer 30 super specialties and specialty services supported by a strong team of more than 1,200 doctors and more than 2,400 nurses. We have consistently invested in advanced medical technology, including robotic-assisted surgeries, modern diagnostic and critical care infrastructure. These investments help improve clinical precision, reduce recovery time, and enhance patient experience, while remaining aligned with our affordability-focused model. Inorganic growth has been another important driver of the scale. Over the years, we have demonstrated a strong ability to acquire and integrate hospitals successfully, applying a standardized operating playbook. Recent acquisitions such as KPS Institute of Medical Sciences, Agra, and Krishna Super Speciality Hospital, Bhatinda, further strengthens our presence in the high potential region and fit well within our cluster strategies. As we look ahead, our vision is to continue building a scalable, sustainable healthcare platform focused on expanding capacity in unpenetrated markets, strengthening specialty depth, maintaining affordability and quality, creating long-term value for the stakeholders. With that, I would like to hand over this thing to the whole-time director and the CEO, Dr. Sanjay Sharma, who will take you through our operations and execution. Over to you, Dr. Sanjay.
Thank you very much, sir. Good afternoon to all the invitees. Firstly, heartfelt gratitude to all the invitees from Park Medival family to taking this initiative of joining us and showing keen interest in our organization. As you all would be aware, we have come out with our Q3 results. In healthcare delivery parlance, this is the quarter where it is supposed to be healthy period, and generally the results are subdued. But I'm glad to inform that we have gone ahead and we are still on track and ahead of the curve, which my financial director, CFO, will be telling about it. Largely why we have been able to attain these good results is based on four pillars of core value. Over and above that, Park Medival's strength, as our chairman mentioned, is patient-centric care and patient satisfaction. And they are followed by through these four pillars of core value. One, first one is the highest quality. All our hospitals are NABH accredited and major labs are NABL. We constantly endeavor in improving our operational efficiencies. We constantly are on the improvement towards our clinical outcomes. The second one is affordability. Largely, it starts with our being north-centric based because these are large states with the larger population and the gap between the population and bed is huge. And also the disease prevalence is very high. The concept of 250-bedded hospital gives us high operational efficiency and quick break-even. And CapEx around 34 lakhs is also one of the main factors which keeps our affordability aspect. The bed configuration of 30% being dedicated to critical care and 40% to general ward is another factor which contributes towards affordability. The other factor is full-time doctors and, as chairman mentioned, the cluster growth, which gives us great synergy, multiple optimal utilization of HR resources and equipments. The third one is higher technological adoption and training that we have been doing by increasing our HIS standardization, clinical protocols, more onto data analytics, expanding advanced medical equipments like robotics. We are one of the groups in best of our knowledge which has obtained three Da Vinci fifth generation robots, and we've been conducting heart surgeries through robots, joint replacement robot assisted organ transplants, neuro intervention, cardio interventions and others. Training and the clinician aspect of it is largely based on that people remain our focus area, and training and clinical governance and leadership development is our main focus. This is also seen from this point of view, that seeing our academic strength and the, you could say A to Z, the patient diseases, we have been accorded and awarded 63 DNB seats by the government in specialties and super specialties. These initiatives support better clinical outcomes, faster recovery and improved patient satisfaction when we come across and do the product mix. The fourth and the most important, consistent growth and profitability. This has come largely regularly from past 21 years, and in future also we intend showing it. And this is because we are going for higher and higher operational efficiency, ramping up our occupancy. And despite the new addition of Bhatinda of 250 beds, our occupancy has risen to 65%. And higher tertiary and quaternary product mix, wherever the occupancy is higher, we go for high-end quaternary and product mix. As I mentioned to you, the robotic joint replacement, robotic organ transplant, neurointervention, cardiac intervention, which has led to increase in our ARPOB from 25,500 to 27,500 approximately, and which is decreasing our ALOS to close to 60s. Also, the acquisitions of greenfield and brownfield is another aspect through which we achieve the growth. If I give you some future projections, in February, we have starting a project in Agra, KPIMS, which is a 360-bedded hospital. And in March, first week, we will be starting a greenfield project in Panchkula, which is a 300-bedded project. So in FY26 itself, from 3 to 50, we'll be adding 660 beds more, which will take us to approximately 3,910 beds. In FY27, we are adding 500 more beds, 300 in Kanpur and Delhi in Delhi 200. And in FY28, we will be aspiring for 850 beds, Gorakhpur 400, Ambala Extension Onco Dedicated Facility 200 beds, and Rohtak Greenfield 250 beds, which should take our bed strength to roughly 5,260 beds, while maintaining the EBITDA of 27%, PAT of 17%, and annualized ROS of about 21%, and ROE of 23%. And this has largely been achieved because we have constantly been following our core values and strength of patient-centric care. Thank you so much. And now I'll invite our CFO, Mr. Rajesh Sharma, to continue and take it forward, please. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Sharma, and good afternoon, everyone. During Q3 FY26, PARC MediWorld reported revenue from operation of 4,100 million INR, representing year-on-year growth of approximately 18%. For 9 months FY26, revenue stood at 12,189 million, reflecting growth of around 17% year-on-year, driven by steady patient volumes and the ramp-up of newer and acquired hospitals. EBITDA excludes other income for Q3 FY26 stood at 994 million with an EBITDA margin of 24%. For 9 months FY26, EBITDA was 3,170 million with a margin of 26%, reflecting stable operating performance amid ongoing integration of recently acquired hospitals. Profit after tax for Q3 FY26 stood at 528 million INR, while PAT for 9 months FY26 was at 1968 million, supported by operating leverage and disciplined cost management. Operational metrics during the period reflected disciplined execution. Average occupancy across the network improved to approximately 65% during 9 months FY26. ARPOB increased to 27,406 and ALOS remained stable at around 6.34 days, indicating a balanced case mix and efficient clinical processes. Our mature hospitals continued to demonstrate operating leverage, while newer and recently acquired hospitals progressed as per their planned ramp-up trajectory. The strength of our mostly owned hospital asset base provides financial flexibility and supports long-term value creation. We remain focused on maintaining balance sheet strength while funding growth initiatives. Recent acquisitions are being integrated as planned, with emphasis on improving utilization, specialty depth, and cost efficiency. Incremental capex requirements are expected to be largely optimization-led. Our capital allocation priorities remain clearly defined. One, strengthening the balance sheet, funding organic and inorganic expansion, improving returns ratio over the medium terms. Besides, you know, that I also wish to share our comparative for 9 months for FY26 versus FY25. In 9 months FY26, we achieved a revenue of 12,189 million as compared to 10,397 last year. So there is a growth of 17% in revenue. EBITDA also grown from 2,826 million to 2,3170. So there is a growth of 12% in EBITDA. And PAT is also grown from 1,374 million to 1,968 million. And there is a growth of about 40% in PAT. And if I call, and I wish also like to mention about the footfall, IPD and OPD together, it was 5.32 lakhs patient last year that grown to 6.6 lakhs in the first 9 months of the current year, and we registered a growth of 24% in footfall. And our bet also increased from 3,000 to 3,250. As Dr. Sanjay mentioned, that we added 250 beds in the current year, Patinda. And ARPOB also improved from 25,500 to 27,400. LOS, it was 6.59. That slightly came down to 6.34. And our occupancy also grown from 62 to 65%, despite we added 250 bedded hospital in the current year. And our CAPEX spend remained at 3.4 million in the last, it was same in 9 months last year and the 9 months in the current year. With that, we conclude our speech. Thank you for your time and interest in Park MediWorld. We will now happy to take your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from Nirali Shah from Ashika Stock Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, I have three questions. So the first one is, can you share all the recent Agra acquisition fits into the broader cluster case expansion strategy that we hold?
Sorry, could you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, sure. I was just asking that the recent Agra acquisition that we have done, how does it fit well into the broader cluster-based expansion strategy that we hold?
See, we are looking Uttar Pradesh as a very big territory. It has got roughly 26-27 crore of population, which is nearly twice the population of Russia, a little less than US from that point. And we see that the growth potential is huge, and the demand and the gap which is there in health services is also very vast. And disease profile is also constantly growing. So we intend coming up in UP in a big way. This unit which we have taken up in Gorakhpur covers Agra covers one side of it. The other two, central and the other side, is Gorakhpur and Kanpur. And in between, we intend building up cluster growth to pearl and necklace to ensure that the UP is covered well. I hope I've been able to answer your question.
Yes, sir. Understood. My next question is, as the new hospitals mature, what kind of margin trajectory should we expect at the ground level, group level?
Nirali, we believe that we will be able to sustain margins more or less in line with the margins we have right now. So our EBITDA is expected to remain in 26-27% range going forward for mid to long term. I'm seeing a time horizon of 3, 5, 10 years, and our PAT should remain consistent or stable, and I should say strong in 15-17% range. As you will have
I wish to add one more thing, you know, that historically, wherever we made the acquisition, so what we have seen that whenever we achieved the occupancy of 30%, we achieved our, you know, EBITDA break-even. And we have seen that next year, maybe next year of the operation, we normally touch a EBITDA margin of 20%. And third year, we remain come on the same margin, that is 26-27%. So that historically we have seen. In the Agra also, we are very, very confident to achieve those numbers.
Also noteworthy, our ROI, ROE and ROS numbers are strong in the 21% range, might increase a little going forward. ROE and ROS has obviously converged a little because right now we are carrying a very, very minuscule loan on the books. So ROE, ROP number nearly are converging, but a strong stable and might see a slight curve going forward.
So, sir, on a 3 to 5 year perspective, we are expecting the margins to remain stable, or any basis points growth are we expecting?
Nirali, as per growth, as I mentioned, that by FY 28, the bed strength will be growing up. We are aspiring for about 5,500 to 6,000, but in the pipeline we have 210 beds. After that, another 5 years, we are looking at doubling this capacity to about 10,000. And since the past 21 years, we have been giving this EBITDA of 27% and PAT of 17%. And in coming years also, 10 to 15, 20 years, we expect that our margins will be around this value only.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Tanay Bheda from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Congratulations on the IPO and the strong set of quarterly results. I have two questions. The first question is on disallowed claims. I want to understand how are we managing disallowed claims, what systems do we have, and how do we see this trajectory going forward? What differentiates us with sort of minimizing disallowed claims going forward?
Thank you, Tanay. This is Dr. Sanjay Sharma. The IPO success and the Q3 results are all because of your support and blessings and organizations like yours. The disallowed claims, what we have done is this, that we have a strong clinical team of super specialists which we have created. And largely this is a difference of opinion between the organization which is making the claims and the organization which has submitted the claims. And it is based on the clinical inference of the data which has been put in the discharge sheet. Now this clinical team, audit team of super specialist has been able to clarify most of the queries, and we have brought down the disallowance to about 8 to 9%, which is the lowest in the industry. Even in TPA insurance and cash, this disallowance is ranging anywhere between 12 to 15%. So currently our disallowance is at the lowest level of 8 to 9%, and we intend continuing at this level. Below that, this is the integral part of the healthcare delivery. This much disallowance would be there in any healthcare industry delivery model.
Okay. And my second question is just a follow-up on margins. So very soon we would be seeing the benefit of CGHS rate increases. And with regards to this benefit, how much incremental revenue can we book because of these CGHS rate increase? And how much of that can translate into EBITDA margin increase when we see the full year of benefits?
Dr. Sanjay, for you.
Okay. See, the rate hike this time which has been done by CGHS has been one of the most handsome hike which has been done. And incidentally, since our government insurance, you could say the percentage is around 80%, so we are the maximum beneficiary in this. The hike has been around 12 to 15%. But this will take a little time because this hike will be all around from CGHS will percolate to ECHS, railways, National Highway Authority of India, the paramilitary, the police force, the state governments, electricity board and others. So it takes a little time. We have in the projections which we have given, we have not incorporated this hike in, currently. But from the new financial year, FY27, we definitely see some part of this coming into our EBITDA, but we will be conservatively accounting only 7.5%. Though the hike has been nearly close to 12 to 15%, but we have always believed in this, talk less and deliver more. So we will like to pleasantly surprise our investors. Instead of giving higher figures, we like to give conservative figures and deliver more.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. That's it from us.
Thank you. Thank you, Tanay.
Thank you. The next question is from Amit Agicha from HG Hawa and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for good set of numbers, sir. So my question is connected to like, what is the ROI on robotics? Would you be able to share?
Thank you, Amit, for the good wishes with regard to the result. To best of my knowledge, I have been into healthcare for about nearly four decades, and any organization taking three robotics, fifth generation Da Vinci simultaneously, I am not aware about, at least in my personal knowledge. But we have taken them up, and the turnover which we have been doing at an affordable cost, that has given us an excellent product mix. Currently, we are doing kidney transplants nearly about 25 to 30 per month with robotics. We are also doing the robotic cardiac surgeries. We are also doing robotic assisted nearly 300 plus joint replacement. And what it has done is this, it has improved our product mix, which has led to faster patient recovery, lesser stay in the hospital, and also improved our ARPA from 25,500 to roughly 27,500. We want to maintain our ARPOB in the affordable section only. So we are not looking at a huge increase in our ARPOB. But this definitely does improve the EBITDA margins, ensuring the affordability.
And sir, would you be able to put some light on like what are the debt levels post the IPO?
So I think, you know, that as far as that is concerned, so pre-IPO, that you know, pre-IPO, we used to have a total term debt of 425 crores, of which we have already paid 380 crores, and some of the repayment is done in last few months. So if I talk about as of 31st Jan, the total term debt will stand at close to 15 crores, which we also plan to repay in Feb. So by end of Feb, we will be completely debt-free company.
It's great. And sir, are there any plans for any new verticals of clothing on the upcoming one?
Sorry, say again.
Any plans for entering like new verticals, like for example, kidney transplant? I think so. You're already doing. I think so in five hospitals, right?
See, we are already doing robotics. We have entered organ transplant. We have entered. I think barring liver transplant and heart transplant, we are doing all high-end tertiary and quaternary medical procedures, which are being done anywhere in the world currently.
The last question is from my side. So any wage inflation guidance?
Sorry, any?
Wage inflation guidance, like the employee cost.
No, I have not been able to understand. Employee cost?
Inflation what? Guidance.
Inflation guidance?
Yes. With respect to employee cost.
Okay. So we have full-time doctors, Amit, and this is one of the models which we have been following in the affordable section. What we do is generally our selection of clinicians are this way, that we take a clinician who has 5 to 8 years of hands-on experience from a fantastic good academic college, which is largely a government college background, and who has had keen exposure into the latest technologies, robotics, and latest medical fields. And they have hands-on experience. What we do is this, we give them independent status, we give them a unit, and they are able to do the procedures because they have reasonable experience with excellent academic skills. And we account them for only two major aspects. One is the patient and the attendant satisfaction, and the other is clinical outcomes. And based on that, there is a graded percentile system which is created from each unit. And any clinician which scores more than 75 percentile is every month is personally appreciated by the promoters and rewarded a handsome performance bonus. So this is part of this, which all these inflation which is coming into it is actually being supported by the patient flow and the volume, which in turn increases the revenue. So both are going in a balanced formation. So we do not go for any celebrity doctor which costs very high and which leads to high inflation in the HR. In fact, our HR cost and the doctor's consultant's attrition is the least in the industry.
So may I know the attrition rate since you raised this point?
Sir, our attrition rate at the consultant level is about 18.9%, which is the lowest in the industry.
I appreciate you answering all the questions with so much clarity, sir. Thank you and all the best for your future quarters.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Mukesh from Aster Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. I am audible.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, please.
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah. Sir, my first question is on that. We have not addition any bed in Q2 to Q3. Our bed is similar. But our consultation fee for doctors and doctor salary increased by 8% on Q2 to Q3. What is the reason of such increment, sir?
Your voice is breaking.
I am saying, sir, our doctor fee and consultation fee increased by 8% in Q2 to Q3. What is the reason of such increase?
See, what we have done, you know, that as Dr. Sanjay also mentioned, we are just coming up unit in Agra, and also we are planning to start a unit in Panchkula. So there are a lot of hiring is happening.
Okay, there is a lot of hiring in
hiring is happening, and also, you know, that as I said, because we have, last time also that we mentioned, wherever we reach occupancy of 75%, we start focusing on advanced super specialty. So where we need, you know, more senior consultant. So there also we invested money. So basically there are three reasons. We are coming up in Agra where the hiring is already started. Panchkula hiring is already started. We already have few people on board. Plus hiring of senior consultant focusing on advanced super specialty.
Okay, sir. But in that case, sir, we have already paid the amount in December month for the November month to that new hiring people.
Yeah, because you have to have, because, you know, because hiring cannot be done immediately. You have to have people in place. And you have to train them. So we already have people on roll. They will take care of Agra and Panchkula unit.
Okay.
We would like to state here that we are commissioning our Agra facility of 360 beds by 15th of February and Panchkula organic facility with a capacity of 300 beds by first week of March. So 660 bed capacity will be added within this financial year. So typically we launch with all the specialists provisioned on day one, and this hiring usually therefore has to be done before the commissioning of the hospitals, and therefore the manpower cost looks like that for quarter three.
Okay. And my second question is that in presentation we have not given payer mix slides. So roughly what percentage of
I'll give the answer for this question. If I talk about as of 31st December, our payer mix, you know, that relate to government scheme, that came down to 83% from 84%, and now self-pay is 9% and TPA is 8%. So there also, you know, that from 84 we came down to 83 in government panels.
I'll just like to add in this 83%, about 93% is central government. So that's like a sovereign
government. Yeah.
And there is no default in it.
And there is drastic improvement in terms of, you know, the government, they are also pushing it very hard internally to improve the system. So recovery is also getting improved.
Okay, sir. Sir, what is the going forward trajectory for CGHSP? It remains here or it going down in going forward?
No, the central government health scheme and the central government patient beneficiary is constantly increasing, one. And also the rate hike, generally in the past track record, if we see, they have been hiking the rates every two and a half years. So this has been happening on a regular basis. So this time the rate hike has been very, very handsome. But I believe going further also, as the healthcare requirements are constantly increasing and the government allocation of the healthcare budget is also being proposed to be increased from 3.8% of the GDP to 5.5% by 2030. So I'm sure the allocation for the central government health beneficiaries will also have a major contribution into it.
It means, sir, the ratio is remain here and there only.
Mukesh, we are not going for any government insurance or government schemes. Our focus has been on the affordable side. So we have been focusing on the bottom and the middle of the pyramid. Largely the population of 128 crores out of 140 crores, which cannot afford healthcare. Now, incidentally, this segment is being largely supported by the government, and in that too also major aspect is coming from the central government. So our focus will be in this segment only. But per se, the insurance penetration has been increasing. So obviously a lot of people from this segment will also translate into the private insurance. When we came for IPO, we started at around 84-16% distribution. Today we are 83-17. I believe by the end of this financial year, we'll probably be 80-20. And going forward in a year's time, we'll be 75-25. 75 from the government insurance and 25 from the private insurance. So our focus remains there. But a lot of patients are translating from this affordable section to the private insurance.
Okay. And my last question is that Thank you very much.
The next question is from Shreya Chatterjee from Ageless Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my questions and congratulations for a good set of numbers. My first question is on the payer mix itself. You have mentioned that it will be always government insurance will always be a majority of your payer mix. So how does it impact your receivable cycle? Because I understand that it's a bit on the higher side versus your peers. So where do we see the receivable days going forward? What is current receivable days and where do we see it going forward?
You know, as far as receivable, Dr. Sanjay, you want to answer it? Please go ahead.
No. Please go ahead, Rajesh.
As far as receivables are concerned, first, very important part is because they are mostly 93% related to the central government. So when we say central government, it's like a sovereign bond, and we have never seen any of the money got bad debts. So we receive money, but historically what we have seen that government, they have a very, very well-defined process to clear the payment. So there are two verticals. One is that to pass the bill, and second is to release the payment. So normally passing, because when the patient gets discharged, we have to upload our bill on a third-party portal, and it is absolutely faceless and transparent. So this process takes about 3 months' time, wherein normally back and forth happen, when we have to immediately respond to their queries. And this process takes about 3 months' time to settle the bill. And thereafter, they take about 45 days' time to clear the payment. So historically, we have seen, we normally get our payment within 4.5 months, 5-10 days here and there. But in last couple of months, we have seen improvement. Even the government is also pushing it very hard. And what we are expecting, by end of this financial year, I'm hoping this 4.5 month TAT will come down to 4. And maybe going forward, it will be close to 3.5 months. So this, I think the other important point to mention, somehow this become one of our strength, because that we enjoy sort of a monopoly in this domain, because the kind of ARPO that we have, the receivable cycle that we have, it is practically impossible for a bigger player like Medanta, Fortis, to come down to our area. And it is practically impossible for a smaller player to compete with us. So somehow this become one of our strength.
Got it, sir. And so my second question would be, you have a very unique strategy of capex per bed, which is like very low compared to peers. So going ahead with all the acquisitions that you do, so what is your strategy to select the hospitals, and do you expect the capex per bed to remain at these low levels only? How do you think about that? If you could just give a bit more color to that.
Dr. Sanjay.
See, when we have been generally seeing the distress assets, largely if I talk about the brownfield acquisitions, these assets have been in severe distress. And we see few things into it. One is the strategic location. How much is the distress that can give us compelling values and deep discounting into it? the kind of medical services which are available in that area, and fourthly and the most importantly, the headroom to grow in that area. Based on that, we do a multiple, you could say, evaluation of the property, and then we arrive at the buying price. And generally, because we pay upfront, we get a deep discounting, and that is why we have been able to maintain a very low capex.
And so going forward, also you expect this level to continue, or there might, like, the ROE, ROC levels will sustain going forward?
I'll answer this question. You know that, as Dr. Sanjay also mentioned, the other point is because, you know, when we built our hospital, we are here to provide the best of the healthcare services to the affordable segment. So we keep a couple of things in mind. One is 40% of our beds we set aside for as a general bed, and we specialize in critical care. So 30% bed we set aside for ICU bed, and balance 30%, that is mainly 22% is a twin sharing, wherein, you know, one room has to be shared by two patients and rest is single room. So this allow us to have more bed in less space. So this is one point. Second, your question in terms of going forward. So we are adding 6 more hospitals in by March 2028, which we have already disclosed in our RHP. That was part of our document with SEBI, wherein we are adding the first unit that we are adding in Agra. That will be up running from Feb 2026. Panchkula we are adding. That will start operation from March 26. Kanpur, next year, we are expecting to add 500 beds, one in Kanpur and second in Delhi. And in FY28, we are adding 3 hospitals, Gorakhpur, Ambala, Rohtak. Together, we are adding 850 beds. So we are adding 2,010 beds in next by March 2028, and on a capex of 700 crores. So we will remain on our capex per bed of 35 lakhs. So we have done historically, we are currently doing it, and going forward also, we will remain on this model.
Thank you, sir, for such a detailed answer. My last question would be more on the employment side, majorly related to doctors. So you have so many specialized procedures. So what's the split between your, you know, specialized consultants versus full-time doctors, and what's your hiring and retention strategy, if you could just give a bit more color to it?
See, Shreya, all our consultants are full-time. And if we employ only full-time doctors, there is no visiting consultant policy with us. And all these doctors which we hire, there is a future growth map which is mapped for them and told beforehand when the hiring is being done. There are a lot of things which we, from the HR point of view, also we ensure for their social well-being and settlement. HR helps them in getting good accommodation. HR helps them in getting their children into good schools. These aspects we take care of to settle them. Within the system, we have this thing that these doctors are accounted not for volume or revenue at all. In fact, they are accounted only for two verticals largely. One is the patient and attendance satisfaction, and the other is clinical outcomes. And based on that, they are rewarded based on a graded percentile system, and this reward is every month. And if anybody is scoring more than 90-95 percentile, this reward can even go higher than their remuneration package per month. So there is a great satisfaction level at the consultant level. Vice versa, the Park Hospital also gains mutually in return in a symbiotic relationship, that the patient and attendant satisfaction is also very high. Because all the patients, especially the critical patients, are number of times counseled in the trajectory of the treatment, in the prognosis, in the outcome. All these aspects give them a lot of satisfaction because doctor gives them a lot of time. They're not visiting their full time, so they're dedicated for this thing. So this is major thing which is unique from the other hospitals. In the consultant level, our attrition rate has been the least in the industry, which is about 18.9%. So most of the consultants which have been there with us, they have been there for the 15 years, 12 years, 11 years, 10 years, so forth and so on.
And so any specialized hiring strategy that you use to attract special talent in the for the consultants, like a special heart surgeon or someone from the oncology care, is there any other, like, special strategy that you follow?
Yeah, by the large bed strength and by virtue of being the second largest in North India and one of the listed companies, we by itself are a huge brand to reckon with. When we take out an advertisement for hiring, we get the cream of cream from the clinician point of view. If I give you a recent example, in Panchkula, when we started hiring for a 300-bedded our greenfield project, which is upcoming, as Mr. Sudesh mentioned, in the first week of March, we got a footfall of about 4,500 to 5,000 people coming in. And the best of clinicians in the Tri-City and around came to get hired with us. That is because they have been aware that how Park takes care of their clinician, not as an employee, but as partners, as part of the Park Medival family. And they enjoy all the benefits in the growth, sustainability, profitability, and the growth prospects for future.
You know, when we look at hiring medical staff, it's four things combined that become that have, if I can use the term, sort of magnetic charm attracting, which enables us to attract high quality talent. One is Park offers a very attractive remuneration policy, including both fixed and variable remuneration. Second is for incoming doctors, there is a chance to opportunity to work on large number of cases, drawing on Park's very specific strengths in the middle and bottom of the pyramid population segment. Rajesh ji just now shared with you our IPD number in the 9 month was nearly 75,000, and Dr. Sanjay Sharma shared that we have 1,200 doctors, of which 75% are specialists. Just imagine that number of specialists getting to work on that many number of patients. So large number of opportunity to work on large number of patients. Third is an opportunity to assume significantly higher serious gravitas responsibilities early on, should the doctors show that potential, that opportunity is there. And fourthly, because some of our hospitals are located in tier two and tier three locations, I can safely tell you that Park has industry's most robust plan to assist a doctor. So should they have to relocate to any of these locations, to assist them in adjusting to this location in terms of community support we provide, adjustment support we provide. So combination of these four factors, attractive remuneration, opportunity to work on large number of patients, opportunity to assume higher responsibilities at an early age, and fourth, a strong support to adjust to new locations. So should a doctor have to relocate, these four combination combined factors play a big role in attracting very high quality talent and requisite numbers as we require.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for such a detailed response to all my questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Saniket Pipara from Otis Wealth. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
So thank you for this opportunity, boss. We just wanted to know sort of like your business understanding, like you have highlighted earlier in this call as well. A lot of our revenue basically comes from your government schemes, correct? And ultimately, our core focus is on the middle income and lower middle income sort of 120 crores of patients in this country. But I wanted to understand, how do we sort of reduce our dependency and diversify away and sort of increase the revenue that's come from other sources of private insurance or direct walk-in sort of patients? So could you please just, you know, highlight on how are we managing this?
No, Aniket, firstly, I would like to reaffirm and put our viewpoint again that our focus has always been in the affordable section.
Correct.
Now, whether they are being covered by any government insurance or they are self-payer from that point of view, either way, we will be focusing on the affordable section because that is a huge section. It is nearly 90-92% of the population of India. And we have a huge headroom to grow in that. we are not going for government insurance or government schemes per se. In this section, if anybody is being covered by the government insurance, they also come to us because the other premium segments are not entertaining them. We have a system in which we have already accounted in a rolling manner for this 4.5 months of gestation period of the payment. In fact, as Mr. Rajesh Sharma mentioned, this becomes our moat for any new entrant to come in such large scale structured format and to be catering to this affordable segment. So we are unique in this manner that we are one of the largest player in this section, which is giving them high quality affordable healthcare with the the best clinical outcomes.
You know, think of it like this. We are as a business model not making a selection of patients in terms of their socioeconomic status or their location. Our business offers a value proposition, affordable, high quality services. So we do not choose the patient from the basis of how they will pay for these services. Matter of fact remains that at the macro level, 90% patients belong to bottom and middle of the pyramid, 10% to, if we can call it that, relatively affluent segment. In PARC, the mix of patients is similar. It is 83-17, 82 belonging to bottom and middle of the pyramid, 17% to relatively affluent, what is known as the cash TPA segment. So business model is regardless of how patients will pay for them, it is not oriented at payment mechanism. It is oriented at patients. And I think you will agree that for longevity of business, for long-term health of business, it is really very good if your patient mix is somewhat reflecting the reality that exists at a macro level. The patients, 83% patients who are from bottom and middle of the pyramid, should they want to pay us by means of cash and TPA, they are most welcome to do that. It is really coincidental that these patients are covered by government insurance scheme and that becomes the payment mechanism. But we per se and our business model do not make collection of payments by distorting our business model, choosing patients belonging to certain socioeconomic status. That is the answer to your question.
Right. And so, thanks for this explanation. Last one question from my end. We are incurring around 700 crores of capex, right, till FY28. So, how much are you incurring FY27? Could you give us a timeline of this distribution?
So, as far as you know, the capex is concerned, out of the 700, so this year, even the hospital which is coming up by next, before 31st March 2026, we are adding two units. One is Agra, second is Panchkula. So they are together, because it's Agra that we are acquiring, so wherein we are paying 245 crores. And Panchkula, it was a greenfield where the construction is going on from last 2 years. So in the additional amount that we have to incur is about 35 crores. So together, you can say about 280 crores will go in the current year. Next year, FY27, we are adding 500 beds, wherein Kanpur, we have to invest about 30 crores and Delhi is about 80 crores. So only 110 crores next year in FY27.
Thank you. The next question is from Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question, sir. Two things. One is, A, on the CGHS rate hikes, which you said will progressively get rolled out, by what time do you think the entire impact will be visible for, will be there and be visible for us? How much time will it take?
Hi, Nitin. This is Dr. Sharma. I think the effectivity has started percolating, but in totality, if we see all the organization being able to effectively implement it, it takes about nearly 3 to 6 months. So we are hoping by next financial year, the actual total implication of the rate hike will be coming into our finances.
Sir, safe to assume by the second half next year, we should see the full impact of these rate hikes beginning to reflect in the numbers.
Listen, hopefully before that, but it will be safe to say by second half of the next year.
And sir, on an average, if there is a way to sort of classify like that, what is the proportion of revenue hike that you've got on, you know, on an average, or on a weighted average basis, you know, through these hikes for, if you were making 100 rupees earlier on government schemes, what is the weighted average increase that you've got, you know, through this scheme, through this rate hike that happened?
Nitin, just to let you know, there are about 4,500 to 5,000 line items in the central government rate hike. So for each line item and their implication on the finances will be difficult to predict prematurely. But generally, the overall rate hike, what we envisage, has been about 12 to 15%. And the effectivity of that will come probably in the, as you said, second half of the next financial year. And also what we see is this, that we will be still conservatively accounting for it. We will not be going for 12 to 15% surge the entirety into it. We will be looking at about 7.5% increment in our revenue and EBITDA.
Okay.
That is conservative figure.
Got it, sir. And sir, on the UP that you mentioned is going to be a key focus area for you going forward. You know, so you've, so there is a hospital in Kanpur, Gorakhpur, and Agra. Which are the other sort of areas that you would typically be looking for from a tag, from an entry perspective as we go forward strategically?
You know, it's a very, very interesting question. You will have noticed that one strategic plan of PARC, whichever state we get into, is to reach a critical size. We have a critical size. We are largest in Haryana. We will have 2 units in Delhi now. We have 2 in Rajasthan. In Punjab, including Tri-City, we will have 4 units in Bhatinda, Patiala. We have 1 in Mohali, 1 launching in Panchkula. So as we enter the state of UP, we always had a plan to launch a unit in Gorakhpur in FY27 and Kanpur in FY27, Kanpur and FY28 Gorakhpur. We had an opportunity and under very propitious set of circumstances to acquire a unit in Agra, 360 bed capacity. So if you visualize the map of UP now, we have 3 pivots covering the entire span of the state. On the western side, we have Agra as a pivot. Somewhere in the center, we have Kanpur. And eastern side, we have Gorakhpur. UP also, as you are aware, is known as highway capital of the country. It has a very good infrastructure of highways crisscrossing the state and a huge dam, population of nearly 26 crore. With these 3 pivots, we believe that leveraging on this infrastructure and potential of the market, we will be able to form maybe 2 or 3 clusters going forward and expand our business in UP. It is very striking to note that from literally zero, we will be 1,060 bed capacity in UP by FY28 in 24 months' time. Which is quite remarkable.
Right. And sir, since you mentioned about the Agra transaction, if you can just give us a little color on, you know, what is the valuation that you that we paid for this transaction?
So total, you know, that the total value for this transaction is 245 crores for 360 beds.
And sir, 360 beds are commissioned beds?
Yeah, it's already operational.
And sir, did we share the EBITDA number for the hospital on the last 12 months EBITDA for the hospital?
Can you just repeat the question once again?
So the EBITDA number, the annual EBITDA number for this hospital, that when we acquired it?
No, because you know that currently they are not operating at a decent, you know, occupancy. So even historically also, you know, that during our roadshow we presented to the investor. We acquired the hospital when they were doing a top line of 50 lakh, 60 lakh or 1 crore. Now currently they are giving us a top line of 21, 22, 23 crores per month. So when we come on the board, we put in our effort, we put all the, you know, specialty from the day one. So they are also, you know, that currently they are doing 4 crores with their EBITDA, which is close to 20%. But and once we come on the board, then we are expecting a good growth in the revenue.
It so happens that in Agra, currently they are operating within 180 beds only. Though they have 360 beds, but they are operating within 180. And there also they have about 30% of occupancy. And the 3 major specialties are there, cardiology, urology, nephrology being the second one, and third one, gastroenterology. When we are opening up. We are opening up with all super speciality, including the neurosciences, including the other specialities and onco-sciences. So all put in together, when all major super specialities will be open and we will be operational 360 functional beds, the patient's requirement will be catered to under one roof only. So we definitely see a huge number coming in.
When we start, we will start with 360 beds.
Got it, sir. Got it, sir. And, sir, you know, the acquisition price that you mentioned, 240 crores for a 360 bed, is typically higher, a little higher than our traditional 35, 40 lakhs per bed, right? So, is
no, there a reason? No, reason, because, no, again, I'm saying it depends on the transaction. As Dr. also, Dr. Sarjay also brief about this transaction, it is here in the densely populated area. And because we acquired this asset, keeping, you know, headroom in mind, so even historically, let's say if I talk about our blended rate capex, we made acquisition of Mohali that was together costed us close to 275 crores. And the same thing is happening here. The capex that we are expecting per bed is about 68. But if you see the 2,000 beds that we are adding in next 2 years, my blended capex will be 30-35 lakhs only. So here we have done keeping headroom in mind.
You know, looking at Agra, the closest parallel is just so that you understand, this is our Mohali acquisition where our capex per bed was similar. So it is a case by case assessment. Mohali asset delivered, you know, when we assessed its potential, it over exceeded our expectations. It delivered 36x champion revenue in 30 months time. Looking at Agra, you know, we looked at Agra asset in two ways. One is as an isolated case, it is the largest asset in the city of Agra, which is 21 lakh captive population. Influence area should be double of that. So as an individual asset, it has very high potential for growth in a highly promising micro market. And secondly, we looked at it as also an important cog in the wheel for pushing our UP strategy. It gives us a pivot in the western part. So we have one, as I said earlier, in western part now, one in the center of the state, one in the eastern part. So as a overarching strategy, it made a lot of sense. In Bhatinda, our capex per bed is lower than historical. As Rajeshji just shared, on a blended basis, it still works out for us. We are at 34 lakh per operating bed number.
And so just a quick last one on this. Is there ability, do we have the space to add more beds in this hospital or at a point in time?
Sanjay?
Currently our main focus would be that in 360 bed, we reach the optimum occupancy of about 75% to 80%, which is what we call is our best foot forward. So there is a long way to go into it. We would have number of other acquisition also, as you could say, the pearl necklace between Agra, Gorakhpur and Kanpur. Lucknow, Banaras and other centers would also be there in our mind, and we'll be looking for further acquisitions of brownfield and greenfield in between. So currently we are not envisaging enhancing beyond 360 bed, but we look at ramping up the occupancy to about 75-80% in coming 3 years.
Got it. And so the last question from my side, sir, on the business, is there a way for you to characterize our revenues in say secondary care, tertiary care, quaternary care? Or, you know, I don't know if this is a very loose definition, but is there a way to say typically how does our revenue really fall in these buckets?
See, generally speaking, when a human body falls ill, there is nothing primary, secondary or tertiary, to be very honest. The criteria is seen from the services which are being provided by the institution. So we are currently a tertiary quaternary institutions. All our hospitals are based on that. Now, if somebody is coming and taking probably a tetanus injection or bandaging, that comes into primary. If somebody is having fever or something and taking secondary care, that is also there. If somebody is coming for cardiac surgery, or joint replacement, or you could say organ transplant, that is also there. So our hospitals are equipped for higher tertiary and quaternary care. But per se, different patient mix comes depending upon the requirement.
Yeah, fair enough. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Due to time constraints, we'll have to take that as the last question. Participants whose questions have been left unanswered may reach out to Saloni from the AdFactors IR team. On behalf of Park MediWorld Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.